You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your extremely static host in the middle, talking to you via telepathy. If you're watching this live on Mash Those Buttons Twitch page, I currently do not have my camera working at this moment, so you got a nice little Doom pose picture to hold you down. But with me, I've got Meza on my left. I was wondering what you were doing at first. Then I realized, oh, you're drinking water.
Yeah, bro. I gotta get the water of life.
Meza's in the building, back again, of course, and we got a resurrection as well. Static Gorilla has made it back.
Hello.
From the other side, or training to work with the other side. I'm not gonna go into super details about that. But yeah. But he's back. He's back for another episode, as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happened.
I grew hair. Right? I was in the wilderness.
I know, right?
Yeah, he was just...
Your beard did get bigger.
Out and about.
Right. My haircut's coming on Thursday. Thanks
it's
to the
so
snow.
Weird because the last time I saw you, you did have a shave. Like, you were shaved, right?
I don't know.
I mean, we play a lot of Marvel.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we play a lot of Marvel, so I always feel like I see you, even though I don't. Like, but I'm on your stream sometimes. And I know you don't remember you not having a beard.
It's the quality of the stream, man. This camera's bad. No.
A lot of fuzzies.
So, it's cool. And it goes well with the headset, so we're good.
It just all glides together. So we're back. Another episode, of course. Today is podcast number 205, live show number 55, recorded on the 1st of February. We've already survived 2021, at least the first month of 2021.
Yes.
Getting right into it. It should be released on the 2nd. Let's just get right into it. For those that are new, welcome, welcome. This is, of course, a podcast dedicated to everything and anything in the fighting game community. And for those that are returning with your extra 2 quarters this week to give us another credit, appreciate you guys tuning in. So, had some stuff going down this weekend. I know I had a full weekend of... competition of production and some FGC goodness, which was pretty awesome. You know, it's kind of a rarity, unfortunately, for me at this point to be involved. But, you know, got a chance to watch some Frosty Faustings. I don't know if you guys, you know, saw any of it.
I competed in Marvel.
Oh, look at that. Even better. He was actually in the tournament. How'd you do?
I'm assuming you got top 8, right? I was in there for a brief moment.
Didn't you win with your Sentinel? Right?
Like, no, I'm not Ray Ray. I'm not Ray Ray.
Oh, damn.
Oh, you're not Ray Ray. Okay, my bad.
I saw you playing some Magneto out there, bro. You were moving.
I've seen this guy. For those that don't know, if haven't seen Gabe at a certain season, people were convinced he was Ray Ray because they looked similar a while back. Yeah. Very weird. Very weird.
Always
happens. No, okay, so you got your ass kicked? Damn.
Oh, yeah. Straight 0-2, two Wolverines. I tried to get creative. It's on stream somewhere.
And online.
Yep.
Parsec or whatever, it don't matter. Dive kick is a dive kick.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. That is it. Dive kick and then block a plasma beam and then get grabbed. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep. High low.
Yeah. Other than that, however, Ray Ray did end up taking that with a really nice comeback. That's been being shared around.
Mm-hmm.
Escalante, his first like second placing in one of these tournaments. He's got second place at one of the Tampa Never Sleeps, but for Frosty Faustings, he was posting like, yo, I got second. I can't believe it. Like, I'm in grand finals. And it was the losers. It was, you know, the reset grand finals. And Ray Ray made a comeback. No X Factor.
So did he use Ryu?
With Sentinel. Let's just add that in.
That's not Ryu. I don't care. Sentinel's busted MVC too, so it doesn't matter.
Man, he hasn't used Ryu
in
like 10 years.
That's two, though.
We're playing
three.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. He's better in three, so, you know.
You know what it is? It's so
weird. He's interesting in three.
It's so weird because I feel like everybody sucks right now, and like nobody's where they used to be, and they're kind of climbing back up to that point. Besides Marlon Vi, because I feel like he hasn't stopped playing the game, but like everybody's kind of like slowly not refined anymore, and everybody's getting back there. But the funny part is, everybody's like, there's like new players who are like, oh man, I really want to get into like Marvel. I'm like, nah, this is probably the most toxic point. Because you're getting into it when the game is kind of like at the end point, yeah, but there's still stuff to be discovered, just like NBC 2 is. But I was like, you having all the old players come back, so you're returning to hell. You're not even returning like so on a good note to like practice.
Yeah, so it's a funny instance, and it's something I've actually with a little subject that we're going to talk about later with content creators in the FGC, or one we're going to highlight. It's something that, you know, it's true, and it's become a thing when, you know, jumping back into Accent Core specifically, it's like it can be tough when you have to, you get a new, like, it's a great thing to get a new interest in a game, especially an old game. It's like, cool, you know, you get to pump some new blood into a community. But the bad part about it is, like, you're playing with people, especially in the hardcore side, that are still playing it, like, that already have all that knowledge and practice of, you know, when it comes to years, you know, in the game, when everyone was learning things together, already in their back pocket while you're starting from, you know, those many years back as if the game just released, right? That's tough, because you're just going to get a lot of beatdowns. You're going to take a lot more L's, because there's a lot of people that are already well ahead of you for many reasons. So it kind of is like a little tough to do, but yeah, I the same kind of deal is like what fell here with, you know, anyone that is like getting into Marvel like now, because
yeah,
the amount of nonsense that we already went through for however many years now, it's been pales in comparison to how much you have to like learn, and especially if you're trying to compete. But regardless,
well, I mean, there was a tournament I entered last week, the same one, TNS. I actually went 0-2 as well. However, they have an 0-2 bracket now, so that's fun. But in that 0-2 bracket, I actually did win. well, I suck. No, I won the 0-2 bracket. The thing is that we did it like 1st-4. The funniest part is that I said, oh yeah, come into my stream and watch. And then I saw how the guy was playing. It was like, I want to say it was Tron, Doom, Magneto in that order. And I'm like, yo, these players, man. I was getting so mad. I'm like, why do these players, or was it Dante? I don't know. I'm like, why do these players play like this? Like, you just pick like Tron and you have no neutral. So then he was trying to pick like, so then he wanted, I don't know if he heard me or something, but then the whole weekend he was trying to play me. And he was like, yeah, I'm trying to pick Magneto first now because I need to up my neutral. And I was like, oh, he definitely heard me. But then I'm like, oh, but then yeah, I'm like,
he definitely
but then I'm like, dang. But it was for real, though, because I'm like, dog. Oh, no, it was Dormammu instead of Doom. And I'm like, this guy, like I noticed this a lot from the West Coast players when I went over there to Seattle. And I'm like, these West Coast players, Not to hearken at new players, but I think they're learning just combos and not like the neutral or not the stray hit kind of thing. They're learning how to get that just one touch. And then if the scramble happens, it's sort of like, oh, no, nothing. We don't have that, or we can't come back. Escalante, though, obviously he went up against Ray Ray. You know, he had everything. He had the neutral, just didn't have what Ray Ray has. And Ray Ray just never let go of Sentinel. It's very stoic with that, or static with that. You see what I did there? All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On top of Frosties. Yeah. Is that experience, too. Not a lot of people have had that experience with a Sentinel of that caliber. It actually plays more to his strength, right? Like, you know, to play a good Sentinel player in three, like a hardcore, like to that caliber, is only really like
just three? Maybe three of them?
KBR, oh, yeah. Ray, excuse me. Let me make that four. I forgot KBR at the end, but like Ray Ray, KBR. Fnatic, I think it was Fnatic. Deus Ex had one, I believe. Or am I thinking of Infrit?
Wasn't it? Oh, what's his name? He used to hang out with Fnatic all the time.
Joker from Canada as well.
What about the one that used to hang out with us? Knives. Didn't Knives play Sentinel?
Knives. There you go. Knives. That's what I'm thinking.
So there's very few. There's not a lot, but it's, yeah.
But you're right.
Infrit's so small.
So that's like five. That's like maybe half a dozen. How many Marvel players there are, right? Like that's still, you know, that's a lot. Like you might not know the tricks. You know, maybe he didn't know that, especially if you saw, you know, he didn't think about the meaty crouching M that literally tripped, you know, trip guarded. Excuse me.
Yeah, he probably went for a chicken block and got hit.
Magneto, like on the knockdown, that was like, I was like, bro, like you need to be worried about that. Look, like instantly.
Like he was trying to
hit with it.
You know what that is?
Up back.
Up back. You know what else that was?
You don't want to do that to this guy.
He up back because Sentinel could have gotten onto the other side. I would have taken command grab. He could have been on the other side.
True.
That is also true.
I would have taken command grab if anything. That wouldn't have killed.
Really? You know? Oh yeah. Without X Factor, I don't think it's as bad. He was mid screen, so I don't think he would have gotten much anyway.
He would have had to dash forward, IAD. Oh, well, I'm saying IAD. Tiger Knee, rocket punch. That's the only way.
Hard,
right?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on which strength he did. Because if he did heavy, he would have been on the other side of the screen. You wouldn't be able to dash.
Yeah, but on the other side.
My favorite part of it is catching Morgan when he caught Morgan with the Dawson kick. That was ridiculous.
I was like, oh my god!
I'm like, okay, I'm like, all right, Ray wins.
as soon as that hit home, you're like,
the struggle is over. That's the struggle right there. I mean, it's not
but
like
the worst part.
Escalante, like he's a new player. You know, he's been around for a long time. More towards the middle of Marvel. So
yes,
where he really got some exposure.
Yeah, with where No Life and Joey D started showing up. Yep. Those guys, they are. And Cosmos, they started showing up throughout a little late in Marvel. However, it's just, I don't know what it is, but I just, it's New York, man. No. I just
different
really
caliber
like
of player.
So,
the Dawson,
I actually got
the Dawson kick. Yeah, go ahead.
I actually got a quick question for Dre, because I think this will make a little bit more sense, because we've always talked about how things are going for directional-wise for online gaming, right? I mean, I know you work with NSG a lot. You do a lot of the work over there for TV work and whatnot, or production, I'll just say it that way. Are we going to see what we've been seeing a lot of the other, like from Valorant to, you know, CSGO, all these players, where they're setting up teams that are like, hey, let's put up a camera, and then like it gets streamed to the production team for like top 8 or something like that. Do you think we could start doing that, or we might start seeing that instead of like Tampa Never Sleeps just putting themselves there only? And then, you know,
it gets tricky. There's creative solutions to it, but you always have to, you got to understand, this is now going a little bit more into the official side of what I do. So, in the broadcast industry itself, once COVID hit, remote productions became a premium. And with that, remote solutions also had to kind of grow. So having like a camera on a player, isn't that hard. Like I could send you the same way how you guys are actually on this show right now. Mm-hmm. I could just send a link, and that link can work on your phone. It'll grab the camera, grab the mic from your phone, and bam, look at that. I have a feed that's sending directly to me. But there's risks to that. There's risks to connections, because there's, there's variables that I cannot connect nor can really support on my end. Mm-hmm. Such as like your connection going up, you know, your Wi-Fi being bad, your camera and audio being bad, things like that. Sure, there's some testing that can be done beforehand, but you know, versus a very not grassroots, but like a very like pretty short turnaround time that we have for fighting games in terms of like, okay, as soon as we have a top 8, it's like, okay, are we gonna have the time to now go through each player, AV test, make sure things like that are working, and then have an opportunity to have now like the reactions, right? Ray winning, I'm pretty sure he was popping off at home, right? Or you can do interviews and stuff like that. Like, yeah, we could do stuff like that, but there's a lot of logistics behind it, and a lot of, like I said, risks that you have to take in a live environment. You know, what if it doesn't work? What are we going to do? Can we, you know, have a plan A, B, and C? The costs associated with that, if any, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into it. Most of the time, I'll give you guys a quick example. Most of the times when you see like in those really, really large events, like the ESLs, the League of Legends events, you actually get to see like those player cams. 9 times out of 10, that was provided by the production house or by the publisher. And it's usually like a little flight pack that has like cameras in it, and that calls home. Those are probably like $20,000 a job. Per team. To get that, like, you're sacrificing a cost to it in order to get that luxury, which, you know, when you come up with creative solutions, to lower that cost, it becomes very, very, very cool. But 9 times out of 10, it's a money thing. And we're FGC, bro. We're poverty. So,
I mean,
it's a little different.
I was asking you because that would give a little bit more clarification why we haven't done it yet. Outside of, like, bigger companies like Capcom. And I only brought it up because, you know, with everything going on with Capcom, Capcom Cup being a little bit different.
Yeah, you know what's funny? That Yeah, we'll get into it. That could apply there. Funny enough, that could apply there. But that's also another side to it is like the management of said equipment, the cost of shipping and handling and ensuring the equipment comes back the way it was, the support to make sure a player knows how to, you know, operate this stuff or plug it in correctly. There's a whole other avenue that goes into it that I could go on for days because I have dealt with it that, you know, some companies are just like, well, what's the return on it? Do we get to, you know, will our production... value go up to a point that we can sell the idea of like, this is the pop-off camera sponsored by, presented by, I don't know, Verizon.
Our
because
chair.
It's running off their 5G and stuff like that, right? Like there's avenues you can definitely play it, but you know, it's all about the cost and the return on said cost. Because
it has to look like it's using 5G.
Yeah, right. You could also do that. That's also a fact, but... Yeah. Besides that whole thing, I could go on for days for it. Maybe we'll revisit it later. But besides the whole pop off, or not the pop off, but that win, I learned something else from Frosty that I am very surprised. And as someone who plays the game, I wasn't the only one because a lot of people in chat were like, "Oh shit, that's a thing." Even the caster was like, "Oh, that's right, that's a thing in this game because of how rare it is." But me playing Exard, it's actually been a little bit now because I've been playing more Accent Core than anything else. Playing Exard, you guys might have got a chance to check out the exhibitions that went down with many different players, including FAB, Mystics, Vivian, which actually is who we're watching here. Mystic being the Viking player, Vivian being the Elfelt. We got to see something that I completely forgot. Like, I actually forgot. It's like I relearned it. And it's that the fact that Guilty Gear has freeze frame. Like,
what the
I love slowdown in Tekken 7, you know, basically when it's the finishing hit and everything slow-mos and it's like, oh, who's going to get the win, right? It's hype. I completely just blip that Guilty Gear has it because this is the only way you can do it is if it's a move, it's a game-winning move that happens at the same frame and that if either player cannot, like, RC it or you know, get out of it, that's what triggers it. And this is Guilty Gear, so half the time you either have RC or you don't. If you have meter for RC, it doesn't trigger, which is why you rarely see it. So, that happened in the middle of an exhibition, and it just, like, blew my mind.
Wait, that's very random. That's very random because, like, it's so uncommon.
To the point that the streamer, BG Callisto, that this was on, said he had been streaming Guilty on Frosty since the game came out, and he has never seen this on stream, ever. Or actually at all. I think he said he just has never seen it.
I never knew it existed.
Check out the Twitch chat, because everyone in Twitch chat was like, what? This game has slow-mo? Like, haven't seen that in forever. Take that, Tekken. Yeah. And I've seen the cinematic finish maybe twice. You know, it was kind of wild. It was hype as hell.
I mean,
I'll tell you that much.
I think it's really good publicity for Frosty Fossings. That's like probably the best. This is probably the best thing about it being online right now. Is that you get moments that you rarely would see offline anyway, because like offline, somebody's just getting pummeled or it's never to that point unless it's Tekken. So seeing a feature that was added into the game happen while we're playing online actually looks really good for the game and looks really good for the community itself. I just think that's very
absolutely
interesting.
Hype.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did not know. But this character is BS.
Elfelt is BS. And I hate that Vivian's stream name is Elfelt for Strive. But yeah. So we got to see the exhibitions. That was just fire. I did not know that was a thing. And this game's been out for like 6 years. Or maybe I saw it once in those 6 years. And that's about it. Since then, never really see it. Which is just bonkers. But it was pretty hype. Frosty Faustings being one of the only like really, you know, majors that have occurred. You know, in recent time now that like full blown, you know, have incredible signups. I think if I am looking correctly, let me see if I can bring it up.
Guilty Gear Accent Core was actually full. I couldn't enter.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so, actually, they had a time limit on that because people were filling it up so fast.
So Frosty Faustings had a total of 1,400 entrances.
Wow.
To my knowledge, I don't think in person they've had that many. Let me see if I can look at the...
I do believe like last year their announcement was Axel, right?
Oh, okay. Excuse me. They did have about that.
Yeah, their numbers are usually really high.
Let me return that. So, they have a lot of still old better than 19. Better than 19. Not better than 2020. You know, it was one of the last things that happened before, you know, COVID. You know, the lockdown went down because this was in January. But yeah, That is also true. Like, the slew of games is is kind of wild. They have like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 dang, couple, like almost they, 3 dozen games.
And that's actually everything. Missing some of the other stuff that they have going on in the back too. Cause like they always have TVC, they always have people doing like RPG, what was it? It was like a jump rope challenges and stuff. They got so much stuff going on, dude. You probably be like, I'm tired. Like, this is like a convention.
So for only having 12 games, so you know, from almost 3 dozen to a third of that, and only losing, actually doing better than 2019, but only losing maybe, 200, you know, like 10% entrances. Not bad, because I am sure this was still, like, I'm pretty sure you were still paying to get in.
No, it's free.
Unless you wanted merch. There we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, Guilty Gear being capped at 512 players. You're telling me you couldn't get in? That is crazy.
I don't know if this was that or if it was timed, but I think
when you tried to get in,
I thought it was capped.
Ooh, when did you try to get in?
Like 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks
ago. Oh yeah, no, bro, you were not getting.
Oh, it was timed. It wasn't far though. 457.
Yeah,
that is still nothing to scoff at. That is 16 pools, my friend.
That's a lot online. So I give it to them for running that. And it, honestly, I didn't hear any, you know, flub ups for Frosty Fossings being run online. You know, like usually you would hear somebody say that. And what's cool is I love that they didn't do all the work themselves. They distributed it between the community. You had Tampa Never Sleeps just running strictly Marvel. And I don't know how many more communities. I think the Skullgirls community is probably run by another community. But they tried to pass off the things that people know that are going to get like more exposure somewhere else to them. So like,
Tampa Never Sleeps, they were holding it down.
And I love that, because that's community. That's community work. That's where everybody gets to shine. Everybody gets something out of it. And even though Frosty Fossing is still their event, they're still giving opportunity to the streamers. Just like if we were offline, if, you know, you had yourself or, you know,
yeah, your low kick esports here. Shout out to those Chicago boys. They, you know, they had Tekken, Uniclear, Power Rangers, and such. You still had cats like Arturo involved. Yeah, Mad City, Tampa Number 6. Like, yeah, it's still, you know, the operations still, you know, work the same. It's just, you know, better. I guess you can better distribute it because you're not worried about who's going to be able to show up, right? Because
exactly,
like, the cost is different too. The cost from like having an entire group to come in and stream and produce and manage that versus, you know, yeah, they're still technically, you're paying them for that, but you don't have to worry about flights and hotels and stuff,
you know what,
like
I love?
So I'm sure there was definitely some money saved there.
The easier part is, oh, you're not at your pool? Guess what? You didn't check in properly? Guess what? You're DQ'd. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to, like, give you extra time. I don't have to play or whatever, or wait for your flight to come in and you be like 20 minutes late. No. You're not there. You didn't hit that check-in button, which everybody has accessibility to. Yeah, you're done. So I do think this is good for the TOs. It doesn't put as much pressure on them. So I'd just be canceling people. Be like,
so cute. So alongside having just a very successful, I think, overall weekend, they also announced that in 2022, 28th to the 29th, they'll be in the Westin Lombard in Lombard, Illinois. They are announcing that they're working on an in-person, you know, knock on wood, if we get to that point. I mean, maybe they'll luck out. You know, it's January. It's an entire year before before the next one. So who knows how the end of the year is going to end up at. But yeah, so I mean, overall, I think it was a great, successful weekend. It was great exhibitions to watch, incredible matches to also watch. The Guilty Gear Accent Core tournament was great. Marvel was awesome. I think it was just it was something we all needed. It was a good way to start the year.
Yeah.
No, so with
I'm just mesmerized. I still can't get that Guilty Gear thing out of my head. I'm just like still shocked.
Yeah, I know. I looked at it like 8 times. So I was like, what? I had to rewind it. But yeah, so speaking of announcements, Main Six, you know, Dems Fighting Hurts, who actually was also a sponsor for Frosty Faustings. I don't know if they did it that day during the weekend.
I think it was on Saturday.
Yeah, it was on Saturday. Now it's just a new level trailer. Hidden Waterfall.
It's actually being
added to the game. It's added to the 2.0 update, which will include this is a free stage, so this is just getting included. So expansion, you know, something extra to look at while ponies getting rowdy.
Yeah, it looks like it's about to sing Hakuna Matata or something. So
right? It kind of reminds me more of the like Street Fighter, the Street Fighter V like stage two as well, because that also has like a waterfall thing going on. Like, getting vibes there.
I love that that this game is free and it's a good game and it just keeps getting updated compared to some games that are bad games and they keep getting updated and I don't know why. So
shocker. Bad games getting updated, not good for people.
Samurai Showdown.
That's what it is.
I'm going there. Oh, no.
Hilarious.
Better yet.
That's still getting updated?
Yeah, it is.
I think so.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I paid for it, so I know it is.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
So speaking of games that are getting updates, Skullgirls. We did talk about Annie in the initial announcement for Annie of the Stars because it was originally a mobile-specific update. Then they said there was going to be, you know, the second encore. We got to see some gameplay then. We got to see more of that gameplay now. Actually, a little bit more. There's definitely some clips in here that weren't there before. But yeah, that announcement happened literally just yesterday. I forget when that dropped, or like if that was a special announcement during an event or something like that. I think it was something during Frosty Faustings.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was during Frosty because they were talking about it for a bit when they were going to release it. So I think it might have happened at Frost during Frosty. Plus, because Skullgirls was really big there, so it's where they get a lot of outside of Combo Breaker.
Was getting some just peeping like the gameplay is getting some feng shui engine vibes from that install super of hers that like now she's got like all rainbowy and such. Looks like she can cancel normals into other normals and like just make her combo routes kind of crazy.
Yeah, from what it seems like she can reverse. I would say it's like feng shui engine, but it's more like I think I could probably look into it and find out real fast, but I'm pretty sure it's like a reverse beat probably. Because like no character in the game has reverse beatable moves from my knowledge. Nobody can reverse beat in this game, so that wouldn't surprise me if she could, or she can link special moves to other special moves, allow her to keep doing special moves to normal moves and vice versa. So I think that's going to be pretty interesting.
So with that, we also got a little bit of a tease of actually, you know, there's gonna be more support for this game. A new character is apparently in the horizon. We're not sure when. But it's kind of funny for them to announce it so close because technically today is like the anniversary since they announced Squiggly back in like 2015, I think, or 2013, which was the first DLC character of theirs. I don't know if you guys remember that. Yes. But today's the anniversary of their very first DLC character they actually put out there, which I thought was kind of cool that it's kind of like full circle. But then it's also trippy because it's that many years ago. And I remember when this game was just like a bit of a concept game. Yeah. And people were like, oh, that's really cool. And it was like very interesting.
I want
to
say ECT.
For it to last.
Oof. 3 or 4.
Dang. Around really? Like,
mm-hmm. I remember myself and Yuli entered at ECT 4.
That's very interesting because like the first time I remember playing it was at 8 on the Break. We had a tournament. Came in like 3rd, 4th, something like that. But after that, I remember before the characters even came out, we ran something at up north New Jersey doing New Jersey rejects. And this was like the premier game. And I think that was about like 7 years ago, roughly about 6 maybe. And dude, it's so nice to see this game just continuously keep getting updated. I'm glad they went back to updating it. I do want to see them just make like second encore is basically Skullgirls 2.
Yeah, it's like a super turbo version of it.
I would like to see them just fully like I don't want to kind of see them keep building on top of this game, but this is kind of where fighting games need to go. You know, we need to stick with the one game, stop doing all these like, you know, all right, Street Fighter 1's done, let's do Street Fighter 15. Like, no,
add to one game.
Just figure out.
Yeah, because remember, it's a difference now. Like sequels in games, I know it sounds weird, it's not the same, especially fighting games. It's not the same as it used to be. The reason why there were new versions that you had to like go out and buy or they had to keep tacking on is because, you know, we don't have DLC. You can support a game way, way longer now due to, you know, obviously the fact that you can download DLC, download extended campaigns. Download new versions of the game.
Hasn't Overwatch 2 been announced for like a year now?
It's never more than a year. it's gameplay has been shown off for like a year, but like there hasn't been. I think they showed like some sort of news that the Genji voice actor hasn't even been contacted for Overwatch 2. The game's been in the works for a while. So
they literally need to take
that with what you want.
They literally need to take a page out of the book of fighting games and just do it, because they'll make more money. But like at the end of the day, like, yeah, I think Skullgirls can definitely do. I don't even think it's kind of like the KOF concept. I don't want to see it fall out of its style by upgrading to maybe like 3D or something, but I do want to keep seeing them improve their graphics to some extent, which I think they're probably at where they're at the best point they can be, unless they go like Dragon Ball route, which I'm not caring for because I like the 2D style of this game, but I would like to see them put more, you know, little funny joke gag things in there. Definitely put more characters. If they want to make a Skullgirls 2, update the engine, make it more, you know, feasible with more options, more story, all these other cool things that we can add, like how Granblue has. I kind of go to Granblue because Granblue has the most content I've seen in a long time outside of Mortal Kombat when it comes to content. So I definitely want to see them just improve this, and I think I'll rebuy it again if I had to, but I will never buy Squiggly again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think she's free at this point, because, yo, like, peep it. February 1st, 2013. Skullgirls DLC character Squiggly revealed. More details coming soon. Crazy that it's been 8 years since this game has dropped. Yep. And yet they are still supporting. I wonder if they're going to try to go for the full 10. A whole decade of supporting a fighting game is kind of wild. I mean, did Street Fighter 4 even do that?
No.
It's
done.
Don't think, right? 2015 is like 2016 is like when we got the last. Or 2015 is when Street Fighter 5 came out. Street Fighter
5. And remember, 2015 was the beta.
Yeah,
we didn't even get any new updates.
It had to be done. We had AE 2012 patch, then we had Ultra.
Ultra came out in 2014, and then it had an update for 2015. Because I remember DiCaprio got better the following year.
That's only like 6 years.
Yep.
Versus 8 years already, and you're adding another character.
Street Fighter had arcade in 2008. So 2008 all the way to 2015 was the support.
Still 7 years.
Yeah. More than Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah, Street Fighter Cross Tekken had like a year?
Maybe. I preferred it when it was the early netcode. I don't know about you guys, but the early netcode,
by the end of that game, I think it's where it needed to be. Yeah. But unfortunately,
in the trash?
Not for a lot of people didn't last. No, I think by the end of the game, that game was actually pretty fire.
But what? Street Fighter 4?
It is weird.
Right. X-Tekken.
Strekken.
All right. So with that, we've got Benny Morrow trailer that dropped a couple days ago. It's still to this day, it trips me out that they don't give him some sort of intro similar to the CVS 2-1 where his hair is down and then he like just spikes it up. Like,
yeah.
He uses electricity to put it up. And I'm like, that's so sick. I don't know why they just keep missing out on that opportunity.
I was about to say this game looks a lot better and better, but if you go to 13 on the timestamp and then go right to 14, it goes between this little cutscene and to gameplay, and I just noticed it. Yeah, right after this. By the way, we're looking at the Benny Morrow trailer.
We're literally
frame by frame.
We're checking out the Benny Morrow trailer. We're literally going.
Look at that change.
Frame by frame. You mean the color? I mean, he's in a different state.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
The coloring is going to be different.
The shade is different. And like, then the outfit actually looked okay, but the hair was completely different. Like, it wasn't as detailed.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's the shading. It's the shading is getting
Maybe the tilt shift type thing? I don't know.
Because they're using right here, that's like the Samurai Showdown shading, and then it goes back to like an old, like, bland, like, KOF style. You could see it. Yeah. It's just a color.
It's
the lighting.
Honestly, I think it's the stage. It's the stage because you're going from an area that, you know, sunlight bright out to like a much cooler bluish, like right there. Like the sun's down. There's only spotlights. You know, everything about them is much cooler. It's not like contrasty, like not harsh anyway. It's much, much more softer versus here. Like you have these harsh shadows that are around his face and his nose and such. So
what I am like,
it's the engine. Yeah.
The zoom in and out sort of effects, like when you have the out of focus, in focus, that's pretty cool. Go ahead.
It's pretty dope. Wait, what is that? I was just seeing. Okay, that was. I thought his like pants like changed somehow, and it was like his shirt. I mean, We're seeing the usual Benny Morrow stuff. You know, the movesets are all there.
So I'm a Benny Morrow fan. I've always been.
Same.
This version's interesting. I will always have judgment on KOF after them putting out 14. Considering, like, yeah, they did a good job to recover, but it's like, okay, I'm giving them a second chance, right, to revitalize what they messed up on drastically with 14. 15, they have time now. Don't give me some BS. We got to update the graphics when the game comes out. This looks good right now. Totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the,
I mean,
the
they're using a completely different engine. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
This is the Sam Show engine.
Which is 10 times better. Anything was better than whatever the hell they were using. That seemed like they pulled it out of the goddamn mud and trash at the same time and forgot to, like, wash off the mud. So my thing is, this game looks like it's going to be well-polished this time around. I can see that they put some thought into, I guess, to some extent, what they want their characters to kind of do. I'm still holding judgment because we don't know if this is going to be a dream game, a KOF dream game, meaning Dream Cancel. For those who don't know, Dream Cancel is usually where you have characters that are maybe possibly dead in the story, or usually, as they would say, if you see geese in the game, it's a dream game, because particularly he's supposed to be dead. So
he's fallen off of so many buildings.
Yeah.
So which means if they do this game like that, it might be a Dream Cancel game where you're going to get instead of that KOF 13 bar where you're going to get HD combos, you're going to get Dream Cancel combos, which is a little bit different. I'm not opposed of it, but I think people really want that KOF 13/14, you know, ability to use the cancellation, the HD bar. So I don't know what's going to work for them, but whatever it does, I think it'll be fine this time around. I personally would like to see the Dream Cancel like in general be kind of like the change of the pace of the game, because we're so used to something that's perfected right now, which is KOF 13. I don't know. I don't think we could kind of go back that way. Be kind of too hard.
Well, they've only been, you know, centralizing over character trailers, which, by the way, at the end of this, we got to see team, quote unquote, hero, which is, of course, including Benny Maru, Shun A, or is it Shunel?
Shunai.
It's an I at the end, right? Shunai and Meitsukun, who we actually did a breakdown of that video. I believe it was last week.
Yes.
Might have been the week before.
Yes.
So that's the first three official announcements. I mean, I know we saw Leona, we saw Kyo, I forget who else was in that initial trailer. Kay. I think Kay was also artwork, and I don't know if he was shown, but I remember seeing artwork for him.
So I didn't see Benny Morrow have the lightning that he usually did in 13 or 14, where he would bring the lightning down from the sky. So I think that's
kick? Yeah, it's there.
No. He has that one.
That one?
He doesn't have... So remember, because we can't see cancels, I am not seeing the man grab into the lightning. Oh, that's new. That flash kick that you saw in the air?
That was an EX move. Yeah.
Okay,
They showed EX moves. There's an EX move, and then
that's
his
EX super.
To cancel that.
That's a super that super, and then an HD cancel.
So here's the thing. What you're not seeing, though, in 13 and 14, at least in 13, he had the lightning that he could cancel off of into doing a lot of his juggle combos. So I guess they took away maybe his command grab or changed it so that he can't cancel off of it. Also with his lightning, like, there's a lot of things. Like I said, I don't know what system they're going to use, and they're trying their best to hide it. So if it's not the 13 and 14 style, I think we're going to see Dream Cancel. So
I think Dream Cancel, I don't know if we're not going to know much of that. Sorry. We're not going to know much of that until we see a UI.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That too. Yeah. They're always hiding it behind the UI. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see what else they'll announce. Doesn't seem like there was any trailer dropped or anything at the end of this to kind of give us any hints of that. So we just kind of have to stand by. I mean, my judgment is reserved. I gotta wait a little bit longer before I really kind of get my thoughts together as to how I'm feeling about the latest KOF game right now. But regardless, we got some Capcom Pro Tour 2020 season finale details. There was a preview blog that went up on the Capcom Pro Tour site. You can actually take a peek as to the final trailer that they showed, obviously, with the announcement as to the stream that's happening on the 20th and 21st. The season final matches have been, kind of arranged, and it's kind of what was expected, because you're not going to see a lot of international play, because, you know, since they canceled the event that was happening in DR, we're obviously not going to get an in-person event. So, you know, you got two players from each region or representing each region that was required. You know, you've got your Australia, China, South America, Europe, North America East, and then North America West. And you have Central America, EU in the Middle East, Asia or Southeast Asia, EU West, North America East, and Asia East. I just want to make sure that I have. Wait a minute. Why does North America East have two? Oh, they had
there were
two
events. No,
yeah, if they didn't.
But no, did West not have two?
No, West had two.
No, West did have two because you had Nephew and Samurai. Mandrake and Smug won North America East.
I think because Idom Australia didn't reserve. I think because Australia didn't have a second one, so maybe why.
I'm reading through. That's a weird one.
Maybe they just needed something to fill the gap because it would be offset. I'm just going to go with that.
No, because you're getting 16 that way, right? Yeah, because you're going to get 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Oh, that's 24 now.
Because Australia only had one, I'm pretty sure.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to have to double check on that. Regardless, they took basically the two winnings from each of those areas and actually paired them up. So we're getting a lot of in-country. Most of the time, these are players that are definitely familiar with each other or probably play with each other or train with each other on a regular basis and wouldn't be surprised there. So it's going to be interesting to see, which means that's going to mean, you know, players that are used to playing each other. So that means these matches are going to be very, very, very high level because they're already going to know the tricks versus getting, you know, stomped by a player you don't play that often. So I think these are going to be some very, very incredible competitive matches.
Do we know what they're going to be playing to?
No, I don't
know. I didn't see details as to the actual format itself. All it was the actual dates and the time, which is going to be happening on 4 PST, which is 7 o'clock EST for us in the East Coast. On the 20th and 21st, and it's hitting like all platforms, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook.
I mean,
oh, so there was four invitees. There we go. There were four invitees.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. I was like, hold up. So like, CJ that's kind of strange.
Sorry, CJ Truth and Big Bird, Angry Bird? Oh, okay. Well, at least CJ Truth and Nephew, I believe. Yeah, definitely.
One of the birds qualified. The other bird, I believe, was invited.
CJ Truth and Nephew were definitely the two, one of the two, or some of the two that were invited, because I know they didn't win.
Well, I got a quick question, because, like, well, maybe a theory, more or less. I don't foresee it being more than first to five, just due to the fact that they're playing for a lot of money. Obviously, they need to have matches showcased, right? First to tens would just be too damn long. Maybe first to tens are,
yeah,
or first to sevens, right? Something within the range of first to five to maybe first to 10. But I'm going to go with first to five or first to seven just due to the fact that they're playing for money. And then, I mean, they have to put on a show. And I just don't see how you can fill up the time without doing that. If you did like first to like tens, it'd be too much in my opinion. And me personally, I get up and just fucking walk away for the day.
Oh, right.
After like two or three. It's not like I'm watching, Third Strike. Third Strike, that's like, every time I see that, something new is happening.
Wait, yeah, with this, I'm like, you have to go back to the menu.
But like,
I'm just trying to figure out how. Like, ugh. Yeah, well, it's gonna be interesting.
Remember, it's region locked, so they're gonna do it based off of regions, and they're gonna split up the money that way. It's not meant to. This is like what they did with Dragon Ball, right? This is like, oh, these players are the top of this area and then this region. It's not going to be, you know, you're never going to see Jan versus like some like CJ Truth or something like that if they were to make it through. It's just strictly perspective, like your respective area that you're the top dog in. You get money that way. So am I mad about this? No, I can't complain. It does suck for the players. I mean, Vesper Arcade talked about it and it does suck. You know, you're going to have to sit there and watch matches based off the region as if we didn't already do that.
Yeah.
And now it's like doing it again. Like I can understand if there's like Europe West and then Europe East, which there is. Yeah, I guess there's Europe and then EU West. Like, I could see those guys coming
Europe
together.
And then Europe West. Like,
I guess it's like the central.
Interesting. That's, yeah. Hmm.
I don't really know how that works. But yeah, it's a little
they
weird.
They had to salvage, you know, the situation, obviously. I don't know when, you know, to this day, we haven't gotten any actual confirmation as to why the whole thing got canceled. I mean, not like the super details. I'm assuming they just travel alone. When it was first announced, it was already like, it was already so many questions. Like, what? Really? You're going to be able to fly out that many people from that many countries? Like, this is all greenlit? Holy crap. Like, I don't know how you swung that. And then sure enough, you know, a couple of weeks later, it's like, oh, by the way, we're just canceling that.
Because we said that
like,
before,
yeah,
too.
That was the first thing. It's just like, that's kind of crazy. How are you able to swing that? Because you're talking visas on top of that. You know, there has to be a really good reason. I mean, sure, technically, you can make it as an occupational thing. But like, holy crap. The red tape and maybe even the cost could have just scared Capcom from continuing. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, I'll just play it online.
Yeah, it would have been better in the summer at least, too. Like, I don't, I can understand if you're trying to bring people over farther out in the year.
Yeah, I know, but they couldn't wait much longer, to be honest, as well, because they're tied to the whole, like, update that's supposed to be coming out. You know, they can't keep pushing that back. They got to sell this DLC ASAP Rock as soon as it's greenlit. It needs to go.
Also,
the tour is definitely an aspect.
Also, probably going to be part of some of the announcements at this event is going to be the Olympics, which was supposed to be 2020. So if you delay the Olympics, you're still gonna have. Are we still gonna have Rocket League Street Fighter?
Yeah, I forgot. I mean, I forgot. But like that is also a factor. You know, we don't know what external factors from those deals are.
That was supposed to be this year, and then what if they were gonna announce Street Fighter 6 in 2020 because of that? We don't know.
So keep in mind, it's not only you know street. It's not only like fighting games that are being affected because it's technically fighting games' first year officially in. It's funny. They're not the only ones. Breakdancing is too, and it's very similar because there's a small scene. It's very rare opportunity. How do you not push those both back or all of them? So, I mean, it's weird because we never had this happen. And of all times for it to happen, it's at a point where do things go online? Because we could feasibly do it. Breakdancing has been doing it too. They've been doing online events. Where, like, you basically have a camera up and you, like, perform in front of judges. But it's not going to be obviously the same atmosphere, but, like, it's different from the bigger sports where they need, like, actual areas to, like, perform in compared to maybe, like, fighting games where we could just do it online. So I'm hoping that it doesn't go through 100% because I want to see these things, you know, the newer sports or esports that are coming in to get showcased, particularly, like, Street Fighter and Rocket League, because it could do wonders for us. So, sucks.
Yeah. But, hey. Interesting. We're learning a lot about ourselves this year. All right. So, yeah, we got those details. Hopefully, we'll get the details as to what this format is going to be. Because, you know, there's nothing on the actual blog. It's supposed to be a preview post anyway. Some things might be subject to change. I wouldn't be surprised. Hopefully, we get the format. For how these players are going to play, I'm sure they would like to hear. Hopefully, they're getting some insight from them, to kind of get a good idea as to what would work out best, or rather, at least, you know, like I said, get some insight, get some feedback. That'd be the best way to go. If you learned anything, it's pretty useful when you actually have the players in mind. All right, so with that, we're going to jump into the randoms of the FGC. This is where we're going to take a peek at some very interesting takes. Not only was this weekend great for things like Frosty Faustings, but I've definitely been on some content, like just content watching grind. And this little gem right here has been making the feeds and has kind of been the talk of the town for a little bit. For those that don't know, Vice, who's a news reporting corporation, right? Like that's what I'm assuming they are.
Sure.
You know, they had a piece on fighting games that went out 2 days ago, you know, right in the midst of Frosty Faustings, which is pretty cool. Like Vice stuff has always been historically like supposed to be kind of like a little bit of shock factor, right? Like, oh my God, we're getting an exclusive look as to this guy in Amsterdam that does shrooms and like how he buys them and tripping balls.
They're the channel
for getting an actual look. Like this is legit shit that they just cover. Like, you know, yo, these are the cocaine fields. This man is mashing it up right now. Like, it's wild.
They were like the TNT. When TNT was like really big for like all their like exposure of like things that people weren't used to, like, you know, rated R movies on regular TV and stuff like that. This Vice is like the, hey, you want to like see cool foods where we use like weed?
We use human meat. Oh yeah, let's film that. We'll see that shit.
They are like a coverage studio, so yeah.
Yeah, so I take their stuff with a grain of salt. The best thing they did off the rip is get Holland and Decent in the intro shot. I thought that was
awesome. If they would have kept going, I think Gabe would have been there. Right?
Yeah, that's funny. I'm pretty sure this is I don't know what year this was. This looks like it was the year when Punk got second. Yeah, right. This is a minute ago.
2017 then.
Yeah, it was a minute ago from what it looks like. But then he's also rocking a Dragon Ball shirt. So I'm like, is he there for Dragon Ball? Because if he was, then we were. Oh, it's 2017. What am I thinking? It's literally right up here. Yeah, 2017. Were we there?
Oh, snap. Wait, where is that photo? Missed that at 05?
Was that the weird? Because that was the year that Chris won a Marvel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I wasn't there. Yeah.
Okay.
No geek.
So there you go.
This is how I know for a fact
it wasn't ours because guess what? Center stage.
Incorrect. Chris G won Marvel in 2016. Oh my God, the Phoenix player won in 2017.
Wait, so this is always the easiest way to do it. When did Joe go on stage? Yes. For Street Fighter?
Joe go on stage in 2016. He was the only American.
The first year.
It was the long walk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 2017 was
17, I think.
Yeah, this is how I know.
I just realized this is how I knew because this is center stage. I haven't been to an Evo with a center stage because I think this is extremely better designed than having me fucking turn my neck left for several hours.
I 100% agree with you. 100%.
Sucked.
However,
so anyway,
with it on the side, more people can sit in the bottom, and the stage can be bigger. They can use their full production stage.
That is true.
Man, whatever. My neck like, need a support afterwards.
I do production too.
Anyway, back to the actual video piece itself. So take Vice, you know, Vice stuff with a grain of salt at times. Like they kind of some things are like, oh, you know, there's some truth in what they're stating here. Some of the people they have in there are definitely staples, like
Young Alex Vice,
Sharpie and such are in there. But the way they present some of the stuff feels like a little political.
Yeah.
But it's like, whatever. Overall, the article I keep calling it an article, but it's basically what it is. The visual itself, the piece, did a good job in kind of trying to get a feel for the community itself. And it was all narrated by like Kid and Play's, or really specifically it's Play's, like I think cousin or something like that with that hairstyle. If y'all don't know who Kid and Play is, then I'm kind of dating myself here.
I'm super excited when you said Kid and Play, and then you said it like his cousin. I was like, what the hell, man? Don't be kidding me.
It can't be him because Kid and Play is old. They're adult and chill now. Okay.
True.
So
he's got the haircut. He's in the 80s though. Like, bro,
I know, but he's rocking the Lego or the Gumby.
We're just having. All right,
so. So they had some really good pieces, you know, talking and explaining, like especially when Vi was talking about the game, when they kind of talked about representation and stuff, it was really interesting and kind of like some of the roots in it. Overall, like for the piece itself, I mean, it was what 24 minutes, some good stuff. That, like I said, by the end of it, it got a little political in like their little round table of theirs. Shout outs to the girl who said her favorite game was Guilty Gear. I mean, that was solid.
Okay, so here's my thing, because I haven't watched it yet and I'm trying to reserve judgment because I'm gonna judge it, and you know I am. And I'm gonna say it from a perspective. I don't really like I'm becoming like that old bitter man. I just don't give a damn anymore. I'm gonna speak my mind a little bit more. And like I hope this is better than, you know, like the showcasing of it is a little bit better than how we saw, you know, I love the community made presented documentaries. Like, I think it was like Coin Up.
Hold Back to Block, maybe.
Yeah, Hold Back to Black.
what was others? I know what I almost said. Mike Ross, story. All those things were really well produced and really dope. And I try to say I want to trust Vice on this one, rather the people that we have going into, I guess, try to speak their mind with Vice. But at the same time, I'm like, I haven't seen it. I know some of the people in it. Quite frankly, I don't know why the fuck they're in it. Once again,
I don't know, they got a phone call. Quite frankly, the call.
I don't know why the fuck they're in it when there are other people who've been around longer. And I like history. You know what I mean? Like, I get it from the news standpoint, but I want to hear what they have to say. And if it's more bullshit that I've been listening to for the past few years, I'm going to say it like it is. Well, it don't matter. That's like, I'm trying to figure out what is the purpose of the story of the Vice story. Like, it says inside the world of fighting games, but I'm trying to understand, are we talking about fighting games themselves? Are we talking about the community itself? Like, this is, because this is what we don't really ever, you know, go, nobody ever really touches base on what I think we're going to talk about.
Right. So here's the thing. Like, it starts off very interesting in how the community started growing up. And then, but then it starts, and it's very telling. And then it all it's goes very downhill. Good. They all nostalgia into it, but it brings into that very sort of dark, like underground type feel where it's like, this is something you don't want to be a part of, though. And wait,
are we talking about like Smash players shitting on the floor and stuff like that type dark stuff?
I don't know how that didn't make it in there.
You can watch the video for yourself. But it takes a turn, and they're using footage of Redacted. Anyway. So, like, it's very... But then you when you think about Vice, or even Kotaku, more mainstream sort of, like, coverage, that's when it gets a little dicey when they're trying to get, like what Dre said, the shock factor. Kotaku likes to bring up articles about the shock factor of the FGC. We rarely see the most, positive sort of angles. So,
like,
brought in the positive at the start, but they said, here's a warning. If you're trying to get into FGC,
be prepared.
Go check out the code of conduct, But, like, just examples like that. And, this is all good and all. It's good to know, you have your warnings. But at the same time, it's like, that kind of puts this, like, in the background of our community, like, but there's this in the background of the community, and it's like, man, you're really kind of hurting the community at that point. But it's good. Good to know. It's good to be like, hey, watch out for this and that. That's good. That's good.
Yes. I can't knock them for that. Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. Where they tell you like, look, there have been, especially over the past year, because they are talking about the past year. How all the crazy stuff the allegations, the some more that are allegations that aren't just allegations, that they're like, these legit, these things happen, the harassment and such. Because they talk about a section when it's women, because they have representation. They have, Purple Sharpie in there. They talk about combo queens, stuff like that. They kind of hit. Karakor's in there. They kind of hit you with the whole History Channel, right? Like the when it comes to like first killers 48. Or something. Like that, the family was great and happy, but then they weren't, right? And they flip it on you, like oh shit! Like what's the happening? Right? They hit you, exactly. Like a mild mannered man, but at night, it's like holy shit, this got real really quick.
In their basement.
They're borderline hitting that a little bit by the end, and I'm kind of like, huh. That's an interesting way of delivering that. Oh man, look at Mega Man Steve looking so young. The one main thing I feel like they tripped out about, really bad that they really shouldn't even include it, that was a telltale. It's like they talk about the respect and the tolerance for trans or whatever, that whole issue. They're like, some people are open, some people are not accepting or whatever, even though like the point of the community is like from the beginning they didn't give a damn who they were, even in the beginning they talk about it. Like there were people I would never even talk to in a regular basis, but because I was in this community, I ended up being friends with them, right? Like you become more open-minded. And then they fucking put on a clip of fucking LTG saying some outlandish shit. I'm like, bro, nobody actually kind of like
does
connects
that.
Him to us. He just he's just a dude that plays fighting games and says some outlandish shit. He does not represent the scene. I was like, I thought that was like the hardest misstep. I'm like, wow, you really, really got like the scum of the barrel.
He's literally the rarity.
Like, oh, this is a problem. Like this is the kind of people there. Like that dude. Like I don't like to this day. I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't get that fucker's like brand. Like it is like the weirdest shit ever. I just think the dude's just fucking nuts. But regardless, like. Adding that to it, I was like, wow, like you really wanted to go there because he just said some wild shit and they just wanted there for, like I said, that shock factor. I'm like, come on, you can't make this like 90% seem chill, or I'll give you the 80% chill, here's the 10% warning, and then make this guy seem like he's a representation of what that warning is. I'm like, it's not even close.
I think that's ridiculous. Even, and I'm gonna watch it tonight, actually. I'm gonna sit down and watch it with some of my roommates and stuff like that. But I'm just like, the way you're presenting it to me, if I was an outside source and I didn't know anything about LCG, the first thing I'm saying is like, oh shit, that's how this community is. Because I mean, me
yeah, it was, oh dude,
how LCG is in the camera. I don't know who he is behind that, but from what I can see in the camera, when I see him on like live and in his persona, if that's his persona, then it's like, damn, is there like 100 more of him? Because if there's only one of him, that's a rarity. I can deal with and one. Then. Can I deal with like 20 or 30? No. And I mean, our community has always been open, period. Even when I first got into it, it's always been open. It doesn't matter who, what, where, when, why, whatever you want to. Like, you could be whatever you want. Come on. We have Sonic Fox as a prime example. You could be whatever you want.
Which
you
they just bring play up. The games. They do bring them up, which is cool. Like, you know, there is positives there, but I was just like, wow, they like. Couldn't misstep any harder that their shins just like blew out of their legs and just shot to the moon. I'm like, holy crap, that was rando.
I guess it's like one of those things, if you see the greatest side of things, you got to see the worst side of things so that you can get a true perspective of how things can be bad or good. And I'll be honest, I don't particularly understand. Maybe this will help me see some things I don't. But I don't particularly understand 100% the whole, like, I get the combo queens. I know why they're there. It's good to have a female support system because it is rough. I'm not going to say it isn't, but I don't understand why being a competitor, because like Sharpie is a good example of someone I've seen be a competitor, hold her own. If she has to be a part of the grimy scene and talk shit, she'll do it. But I see other people who aren't maybe capable of that. Someone like Kayane, who could still be a champion. Or, you know, do very well in her own perspective game, even if there was shit being given. I don't understand why that is a case. Maybe it's considerably because mostly dominant male. But I don't also understand why a lot of the girls are banded together and they're not trying to be better at the game. Because, like, I guess in my head, I'm thinking, like, when I got into the community, it's like, man, I'm getting into this community because I want to be the fucking best. What is their reason? Do they want to be the fucking best? And I meet girls that are like that. So it's kind of hard for me to like unregister that because that's what we're kind of all there for at most, like maybe 80%, 90%. And other people are obviously there for social aspects. But yeah, I guess I just don't really understand that and register that as much. So I'm hoping hearing it from the perspective of the females who are in this that I do know that I'm like, oh, cool. This is going to give me maybe a little bit more. Like I can sit down and have a conversation with them, but it will never matter because it's like, it's just one person that I already see skewed to the mass that I'm used to, like that play the games and are competing and not caring about the other aspect. So, or fight back. So it's very interesting if there are other people in here that can be like, oh, that's how it is. That's kind of fucking crazy that like, maybe you came in there to socialize, maybe not be the best competitor, but get better at the game. And nobody's giving you those opportunities like that I can understand.
First of all, I want to give a props to Alex. My man getting a back massage, shoulder massage in the middle of party. That's some G shit right there.
Yeah.
That shit was some G shit. I was goals. Sorry, you know what? Rant. If we ever get back to offline, I will definitely, definitely
request
try to do
one?
That.
Or give him one?
Yes. Yeah. No. What?
I don't know, man. Maybe Alex has old
maybe
man
both.
Hands
who
now.
Knows? I haven't made up my mind yet. Anyway.
I've shook his hand before. They're very firm and they're strong. So if you're looking for the proper massage, I'm telling you.
Yes. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Right. Thank you. I'll see what's
ready.
Up with that.
Vice about to do a story on y'all. Be careful.
Bro, he can right, coach straight you up. Too. I'm fine.
Anyway, so the overall, like, yeah, I don't want to keep harping on. If you haven't watched it, I suggest you go watch it. Overall, I think it's a positive. You know, I give it like a C plus, low B.
Oh, that. Sorry.
This whole thing kind of came up as well in some timelines, which James Chen went on an entire Twitter, it was a Twitter rant, like in a bad way or anything, but he just had multiple tweets about it. The all time, you know, Evo earnings from 1996 to 2019 is about $1.8 million, while PUBG in 2019, you know, staunchly beat it over double at 4.1. Fortnite World Cup 2019, 15.3. And then in the international Dota 2 2019, $34.3 million. It's like, okay. Like, all right, guys. Like, you know, that's why James Chen went on. James Chen went on the rant because he talked to it, the first piece was, it's not a single game. Shit. It is multiple games. And you can't compare. Like, there's reasons why you can't compare those, which makes complete sense. You know, publisher support is only kind of a recent thing over the past couple of years now. While, you know, these games that have gotten, you know, are definitely younger than some of the, you know, like, PUBG's only been around for so many years. You know, Street Fighter beats it out, right? Fortnite has only been out for several years now. When the first winner of like the World Cup got was, he became like a $3.3 million, I think, you know, overnight. You know, it's kind of wild, right? It's not the same because the game, the way the communities were built, it's always been from the grassroots, from being just good at the game. There was no, you know, like I said, the sponsorship, all that stuff, like that's very recent. That is only in the past couple years. And they were still very much on the low level. Like, it's not like, you know, I just said like, oh, you know, these other games are definitely younger, but like they've had way more publisher support for longer on higher amounts for that, you know, than anything that these individual games have had, because the viewership, the viewership is extremely different. It's lower. It's a little bit more on the hardcore, even though these other games sure are hardcore, but they cater to much more of a wider audience.
And most of those games are free.
Support.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing. Yeah, most of their games are free. Dota,
Dota 2, but...
Well, no, I mean, like, but like, let's be real here. Like, even if I pay $20 for it, whatever. At the end of the day, I'm still shelling out more money for the small transactions versus maybe paying a $60 game and... there's no transactions, period. So there's nothing going back into the company to give back to the community. So, I mean, and you saw Capcom started doing that. So, like you said, it's developer support. It's just different. It's built different. And that's, I don't think anybody should ever complain about that. We weren't built to be online with transactions like every other week. Like, you're not going to see Iron Man in Capcom, you know, in a Capcom game. You know, like Ryu dressed up as Iron Man. There's a lot of things that go into it. So no, I get why.
It's a whole other ball game there. Regardless, like I said, I believe this is something everyone should go ahead and watch. Especially, you know, I'm hoping this does what what the goal is to, you know, expose more people to it. That's all. Even though it's kind of exposing it in weird ways, you know, like kind of showing some of the old guard and how they were versus how it is now, you know, sure, it's a little bit of the history, but and you get fragments of it, but it isn't as ridiculous as it used to be. You know, that's, I feel like we have progressed to a certain point, but it seems like sometimes they kind of throw a little bad light to it that I was just kind of like, okay, I know why you did that. But yeah. So with that, we've got some more things to talk about. Yeah, Killer Instinct Twitch Rivals is literally happening right now. At this time, of course, like I said, we're recording this on the 1st. That started on 7 o'clock. It's currently 9:30 by the time we're hitting this podcast. It's happening live right now on the Maximilian page. If you haven't had a chance, make sure to go check out the VOD, unless you're already watching it live too and you have us on the side, which if you are, appreciate it, dog.
Hello.
Yeah, it's happening, Twitch Rivals, today, I think. I think they're like in top 8 at this point, but when this was announced, like, I'm like, oh, cool, you know, not really surprised. I think the Marvel one that they previously did was a pretty big success. If you're ever gonna do it to any game, that would definitely be the game to do it. But fun fact, you know, before getting onto the show today, we kind of had a little bit of a conversation about, you know, all the different articles, and this kind of came up, and Meza, you had a bit of a interesting take. A take that I, the more and more I think about it, it's kind of, you know, it kind of falls in line. It has some weight to it. I kind of want to, you know, want everyone else to hear about it. So, you know, traditionally in Twitch Rivals, for those that haven't watched Twitch Rivals before, it's basically a very Twitch-backed exhibition of some type of event surrounded by a certain game or community. And Twitch usually does a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of the productions, a lot of the coordination, and works with a creator or several creators that represent that community to then, obviously, you know, make it as best as possible to the community. In this case, you know, when it comes to FGC, the first thing that people, I guess, will come to will be Maximilian due to his content creator ways. You know, he has, I think, several million subscribers on YouTube, successful Twitch channel, has been doing it for a while, known for things like Assist Me, yada, yada, yada. So because he had his start in fighting games and built his platforms off that, you know, that's what's on Twitch's radar. They obviously, you know, brought him in when they did the Marvel one. Of course, from there, they brought the Yipes, the Tasty Steves, the incredible players that I'm sure was coordinated as to who would do well, who could be in maybe this invite, and then, you know, do an entire show behind it. They've done it with Dead by Daylight. They've done it for Fall Guys. They've done it for several other games. Fighting games, you know, the Marvel one was the first time we had a Twitch Rivals, to my knowledge. I don't think we've had one for Street Fighter. I don't think we've had one for really any other game. So that showed, I think that peaked at like 30-something thousand or something like that, I believe. You know, it did very good viewership. All lived on Max's page, which, until Meza brought this up, was kind of interesting. Because traditionally, Twitch Rivals is on the Twitch Rivals page. It's hosted on that. You know, Twitch gets, it's completely backed by Twitch. So it's like they get to have their own, you know, their ad breaks. They get to have their subs. They get to have the exposure of everyone that has followed said channel, which, you know, they've gotten well over 100,000 of concurrent viewers on some games when they've done it live on there. Meza, you came up with, like, you were actually kind of like pissed. You were pretty just up against the wall, like, yo, why is this on Max's channel? And I thought, like, well, you know, because he's the guy, right? In my eyes, as soon as I thought about it, I was like, it's because he's the guy, right? Like, you know, people know him for that. And I thought that was nothing wrong, which there isn't, until you brought this up, which you could go ahead and explain. Yeah,
so as I said earlier before we were streaming, I think it's very weird that we choose to put it on Maximilian's channel, considering everybody who's going to be viewing it outside of, like, obviously FGC people, it's also going to be people that Maximilian already hosts too. So, like, when Maximilian goes live, he's either streaming to 12,000 people, or he's streaming to 22,000 people. And he currently has that many already that he's streaming to, which what I don't understand is we're not getting the exposure to other areas of Twitch, or just in general to other people, because we're not on Twitch Rivals. From Rogue Company to Valorant to many other games, Fall Guys as well, that were smaller games, or rather not as big to begin with, that were slowly building up to that point, they got put on Twitch Rivals, the actual channel. And usually when you're in Twitch Rivals, it spikes from 100,000 plus. Sometimes you'll get the 25,000, but it might be a different audience, which will open up more doors. Now, the thing that's crazy is, even if that was the case, we didn't have it on Twitch Rivals, you'd think maybe Maximilian should be on the front page, considering we're trying to give more exposure to, you know, a Twitch Rivals event. No, he's not. There's other people. Even if you were a basic user, a new user coming into the game, coming into Twitch, you don't see Maximilian's Killer Instinct Twitch Rivals event, and you don't see it's a Twitch Rivals event. You have to physically go to his channel. And what's funny is, usually Twitch will promote their biggest streamers, their biggest contracted streamers, which I know Maximilian is probably, without a doubt, one of their prominent streamers, because he has a sub button to begin with. So he's already under a certain type of contract with them. What's weird is, he's not in the top totem pole with XQC and all of them, but it's a Twitch Rivals event. So you would imagine, even if I was to go watch Dr. Lupo for Fall Guys or XQC for Fall Guys, they're not running Twitch Rivals on their stream, even though they have a big audience. It's trying to appeal to people like myself who maybe don't watch, who doesn't watch them, who doesn't care for Fall Guys. And I go, well, it's Twitch Rivals. Maybe I might know someone in it that I like. Maybe it's like Tyler One or something like that. Or I watch Shroud a lot. So maybe I'd want to support that by going to Twitch Rivals, watching Fall Guys, learning about Fall Guys, going, oh shit, I probably want to buy Fall Guys or get into it because I watched it knowing that Shroud was in it. And I didn't have to go to Shroud stream to do that. Oh, because it's on the front page. So it's a lot of these little things, these little nuances that people forget. It's not about, you know, the money aspect. It's about the exposure. And when you're not getting the exposure that every other esports getting, it seems like we're almost put on the back burner, especially as fighting games. They're like, oh, Killer Instinct, it's not really like well known. Well, it's just a one-time deal with fighting games. Maybe we'll have them back, depending how good it does. And I don't think it should be based off of Maximilian's numbers. It should be based off of Twitch Rivals numbers, because when Rogue Company did theirs, I think they had like maximum of like between 25,000 plus. And on average, when they had an AK tournament that wasn't Twitch Rivals, it had like 400 people max. So the exposure's already there once you go onto Twitch Rivals and it's under their channel. And quite frankly, no, nobody should be subbing to Maximilian for Twitch Rivals events. They should be subbing to Twitch Rivals for Twitch Rivals events. So that makes no sense.
So the whole subbing thing, I think that's just like whatever deal he might have struck.
Which is fine.
But the thing that hit me was definitely that exposure, the tools that we're not getting as a scene. Like, and you know, I know, remember you bringing this up, Static, about like, oh well, you know, we're multiple games. I'm like, that's true, but we are only, you know, during this Twitch viral events, it is only one game, and you treat it the same way. You know, if it was your PUBGs or your Fortnite or Dead by Daylights or whoever or whatever, you know, it's still that single game, is still that a community. But the cool thing about fighting games is that it's interchangeable. Like, you know, you expose one game to a bunch of us, like, you can still get a lot of trade-off and get people that don't play that game into it, because there's a lot of, you know, crossover there. So I just found it very strange until Meza like brought it up. Like, I kind of didn't like see the full elephant. I was like, oh wow, look at that. Like, that is true. Why now is it that we're trunk on his page? Because you can still see, because you could still have Max on the other side, and he could still bring his community because his name's on it, right? He built his brand. So wherever he goes, his community will be there to stand, you know, support and be there for, you know, his commentary, his entertainment, whatever it is that they're there for. You would still get that. But the fact that we're not getting then the other side of, like, you know, the Twitch Rivals exposure to be able to just be shown off in front of everybody, be put on the front page and such, I was like, yeah, that's kind of weird, because traditionally all Twitch Rivals tend to be on the front page too, because they want to expose it to their user base.
I mean, I just logged out and I scrolled through and I did find it on the top, but I don't know if that's because I watch a lot of FGC on my Google account. You know, well,
did you do it? Do it incognito, because incognito is going to make you a regular base user that isn't someone who watches this stuff on average. Like, I just did incognito as a new, you know, sign up.
And another piece there is just like, unless, because here's the other thing. This is the reason why like a front page or whatever needs to like, it's kind of like the only avenue, because Twitch just historically, it's terrible, terrible for discovery. Hi, Twitch. I don't want anyone to twist that. It is really bad for discovery. It is. I'm sorry. It is. Yeah. It's just a fact. Like, it is not built the same way like YouTube is to discover content creators or pages. Like, you streaming, there's nothing their platform does for you to be shown off.
Now, keep in mind, as we're speaking right now, 2 hours ago, when I told you guys about it, I didn't see his channel up here. So whoever was already promised to be on, because like they have rotation of people for the week who are in
there's time slots.
Yeah, he just got put in this time slot, no more than probably like half an hour ago. Why wasn't it, when it was on live almost all day, why wasn't it earlier in that slot permanently? While, you know, like, I guess I just don't understand this stuff a little too much when it comes to promotional wise. Like, why aren't they live channels you think I'll like? Why is Valorant, Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto just chatting? Even if I hit the refresh page, I still get a lot of the same things. I'm not getting like Killer Instinct, because it's not big. So don't you think Twitch Rivals would force people to go, like you said, right? Even if they were to go play Killer Instinct,
force people.
Right? Well, just show people that there's more than just, you know, what's to offer that you're normally going to see every time you keep hitting refresh to the page. Like, you said earlier, even if people went to go play just Killer Instinct, right? Let's say 100,000 people saw Killer Instinct. They were like, holy shit, this is cool. This is new. It looks like that. Okay, they get into the game and they're like, oh, this isn't something I thought it was, but hey, Killer Instinct is kind of cool, like this other game, like Tekken maybe. So they get into Tekken, they're like, oh, it's different, but I like Tekken. Now we're starting to move the actual exposure to different places. And it sucks because we're not going to get that, because we're going to have people who watch Maximilian just watch Maximilian for Maximilian, not for Killer Instinct. So it's false numbers to begin with. It's not like they're watching Killer Instinct for the tournament itself. Killer Instinct does not garner 23,000 fucking people. That's the truth. And I could say that 1,000 times over and over. If Maximilian's playing Killer Instinct, his viewers are going to watch him play it, and they're going to say, maybe I might play it if he's going to have a lobby, or I might get into it because he got into it for a little bit. And then they're switching to the next fucking game that he plays. So realistically, with Twitch Rivals, as I said before, I feel like you're sitting there and you're going, yo, Twitch Rivals, that's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to try this game because I want to try this game. Because if I have an opportunity to even play it and get big enough, maybe I could be on Twitch Rivals. That would promote it way better, because it's not just based off of one person who's a variety streamer who's going to keep switching. And my other argument on top of that is, I always say, the problem with running a Twitch Rivals fighting game tournament is you don't have top players with 20,000 plus viewership, like XQC, like Shroud, like, you know, Dr. Lupo, and et cetera, et cetera, that can all turn on their streams, and no matter what, Twitch Rivals will still get good numbers, and their viewers will also funnel in to watch Twitch Rivals from every perspective. That we're never going to get that for fighting games, because there's not going to be 20,000 people to sit and watch maybe Nikki FGC, you know, literally sit there and play Killer Instinct. It's just not going to happen. Unless we get more exposure.
You know what's funny is, because it's Twitch Rivals, you can click on the other people that are streaming, and there aren't many people watching the other streams being streamed. So
can I do that in Maximilian's? No,
when you go to Maximilian's, you click the Twitch, there's a little icon on the side where you can see who's participating, and you can see who's following, or you can follow those that are playing in the tournament and streaming at the same time. And Nikki right now has 113, Ultra Channel 108, Wheels FGC 86, then 46, 24, 20, 15. He's actually playing Raven as well right now, so people can watch Raven as well play, and there's 20 people watching.
My thing is, why is Ultra 10? Oh, so is he in the tournament still?
Ultra Chen is just
rebroadcasting. So, I think it's because...
He was in the tournament. He wasn't trying to knock that
out. So my opinion, after you're out of the fucking tournament for Twitch Rivals, unless you're a 20,000, you know, or 10,000 viewership streamer, fucking give it to other people. Give it to the other players. Give it back to, like, if we were on Twitch Rivals, give it back to Twitch Rivals so that they could see, like, you're destroying the audience being separated. It's different than having big numbers for Twitch Rivals. And I'm sorry if I seem like I'm really, like, aggressive about it, but it's like, I love this community enough to the point where it fucking hurts to see that if five people are live, nobody will support each other at all. And that's where this whole Twitch Rivals thing is supposed to focus.
So Tampa never sleeps. You may have been seeing Marvello gets top three almost every week for the past month in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. However, Tong would say, hey, you know what? I know they're streaming. I'm going to let... I don't put them on stream early on because I know they're streaming. So I'd rather you go watch them over there and support them. And then when it's time for like top eight, or top four, then I'll bring them over and you guys can watch them over here. But I'm not going to stream all of their matches early on if they're streaming. So that's maybe why he's not, you know, maybe he doesn't put mine on, or maybe I just don't make it that far enough.
Yeah, but I'm saying FGC, like I've known Nikki Vengeance since he was Nikki Vengeance. Like, it's crazy because like at the end of the day, he's still one of the premier top eight players. I would say
multiple games too.
Yeah, like he plays the game religiously still. My thing is, why does he have 111 people watching him? If this was Twitch Rivals, he would have way more. Like, on top of that, like I personally would like to get to know the players, but if I'm watching Maximilian because I'm a Maximilian fan, you think I'm going to go to another player's channel? No. If I'm watching Twitch Rivals, I'll probably go to somebody else's channel to watch Twitch Rivals because I want to know who they are, or I might like them a little bit more than just sitting here on Twitch Rivals. And the production is still Maximilian. It's not Twitch Rivals production. That's what bothers me. Like, they have Sejam, they have Shin Tristan, and I'm friends with Shin Tristan and his family. And it's just like, at the end of the day, these guys don't have a bigger audience than Maximilian. So even Sejam, it's just dwindled by one person. And it's not Maximilian's fault. I'm not putting any blame on him. I'm putting more blame on Twitch for not giving us the platform to really, you know, kind of go with it. For the exposure. It's ridiculous. All right, I'm done. Rant over.
Damn, so I'm about to say rant over. All right, cool.
My goodness.
We're
over time.
We are T-minus like almost over time. Yeah, so we're actually going to end it off on that. We would love to hear what you guys thought about the Twitch Rivals event. Wow, their replay bug. Why is it over there? That is very weird. We would love to hear what you guys thought about the Twitch Rivals event. Should have been on Maximilian's page. Do you care that it was on Maximilian's page? Should have been on Twitch Rivals and give us the platform that Meza is, you know, on his soapbox asking for. Let us know for sure. You guys can check it out. Check us out, of course, on Twitter at DoubleTapFGC. You guys can follow me at CrashTagVS. You can follow Meza, of course, at MezaFGC. Feel free to post him and your favorite clips from Twitch Rivals just so he can get his ranting on later. And, of course, Static Gorilla at Static Gorilla, where he hopefully is currently going to be alive and well in the next week. For the next episode, goodness. I don't know if he's going to be here. We'll see. We'll find out. You can, of course, make sure to follow Mash Those Buttons at The Mash Network on Twitter. Make sure to join the Discord, discord.me/mashthosebuttons. There's a little double tap page there. Post up articles. We talk the talk. We discuss the things here. But that's where I would love to hear your insight, guys, as to what you think about the Twitch Rivals event. Any ways they could have possibly done it better. You think they misstepped. Or maybe we're possibly looking at things in a different angle. We'd love to hear from you guys. Of course, if you're listening, mashthosebuttons.com/shows/tap, hopefully getting fixed. I already DM'd the man himself. You guys, if you're confused as to what platform you can be on or you can listen to us in, you can go check out the page. Not only can you look at the laundry list of podcast platforms that we're in, but in case you missed the show, want to see more of a visual, every podcast show actually is linked to the stream, so you can see them live there. In case you were curious, go peep it out there. In the meantime, sharing the show helps a whole lot. Tweeting it out, retweeting, tagging anyone that you know feel might be interested in the show, might want to hear it. Feel free to do that. It helps us a whole lot. Put some more ears on us and some eyes on the streams as well. So thank you very much, guys, for hanging out with us for this week. We'll be live once again next week on the 8th. But until then, we'll see you guys next week. Later.
Peace.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.